Tonight's Big Brother 19 recap is sponsored by ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? When Paul was looking to hire a bunch of people to help him win Big Brother, he had to go out there on the streets and hand out friendship bracelets to people. You don't have that kind of time. With ZipRecruiter, you could post your job to 100 plus job sites with just one click and use their powerful technology to efficiently match the right people to your job better than anybody else. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike these other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on the candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, over 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. That's longer than Cameron was even in the house. No juggling emails and calls to your office. Just simply screen, rate, and manage the candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. So find out why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, listeners can post their job on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/first. That's ZipRecruiter.com/first. One more time to try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/first. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the man who wears the ring of replacement level, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Wednesday night Big Brother recap. And I'm very excited to be back here in the studio for a number of reasons. One, I'm not traveling with my kids anymore. And number two, we've got a great guest for you here on the podcast that he is the one person that you don't have a bad thing to say about from the entire Big Brother 19 cast. Here he is, Cameron Hurd. Cameron, how are you?
What's up, Rob? How you doing?
I'm very excited to talk to you, Cameron, that this was a disaster that played out before our eyes. I'm sure the same for you, but we've been really looking forward to having you on the podcast since that fateful night. We thought it might come up for you, maybe somehow in the battle back, but alas, their loss is our gain because we get to check in with you about Big Brother.
I'm excited to do it. I would rather be in the house, but this is the second best place I'd rather be, so... Yeah, I'm ready. I'm really excited to talk about Big Brother with you.
Now, are you wearing a Heisenberg shirt? I can't make out the top of it. Yes.
Yeah, it's a Heisenberg. It even says it at the bottom. Boom! There we go.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Heisenberg almost has like a Paul look to him. He's got a little bit of a smaller beard.
Oh, yeah. I'm not like Amish like Paul. No. Okay. Paul needs to shave his beard.
All right. Well, I think that you're going to have a kindred spirit here tonight because we are back here with Brent. Brent, how are you?
That's so funny that he brings that up because Paul has been having dreams where he shaved his beard, and I'm listening to him go when you were hotter, is that what you mean?
Wow. So we need to have see if we can get maybe John Krause next time he's on with Taryn to sort of psychoanalyze the dreams that Paul is having. You know, they say that when you lose your teeth in dreams, that's sort of symbolic of losing your power. I wonder if there's something sort of Freudian about how when you dream about your beard falling out, that is he's losing his control on
he's
the
losing
house,
his
Cameron.
Look. Yeah, he's losing his look if he loses that beard. I was worried right when we came in because there was no guy with a beard, and I'm like, what's going on? So little did I know he was going to walk through that door in front of all of us.
Yeah. Well, so you scouted that out, said, boy, there has to be one beard guy on every season?
Yeah, well, usually there's Spencer, there's Paul last season. There's always these archetypes that they want to throw in the house, and there's just immediately no beard, and I was just like, what's going on? So
yeah, Donnie.
Yeah, Donnie too. Yeah, so...
All right, well, we will get all sorts of insight like that here tonight with Cameron. I want to open up hashtag RHAP. I know we will take a lot of questions here with Cameron. Of course, Taryn does such a great job every day with talking about the live feed. So I'm sure we'll get to that later, but we probably will spend a little more time talking with Cameron about his experience on the episode than we normally do. So take lots of questions with Cameron. So we did have an episode to talk about here. here tonight as well. And sort of, you know, we saw a lot of the Jody drama, and ultimately the ring of replacement was used to knock Cody out. Ultimately, Jess stays up on the block. We saw Raven go up at the last second. So I'm sure we will touch more on that as we go through. But Cameron, would love to hear a little bit about your firsthand experience with this season. Obviously, you were there, and you had a wonderful 12 hours, right?
Yeah, I had as good of a 12 hours that I could in that house. You know, I tried to make the best out of it that I could when I was in there. You know, I had some relationships with some people, but it was just not enough to keep me in the house. But yeah, it was awesome in there. So I like some people in the house now that some people hate. Like, I like Cody because we connected on a level, and I like Matt too. So, yeah, that's my opinions on them at the moment.
Did you connect with Cody when you were in the house or during the battle back?
No, in the house, because he's a Marine and my stepbrother's a Marine, and we connected and we're feeling it. We're digging each other. So when there was the battle back, I was hoping that there wouldn't be Cody or Matt on there, because I want to get in and work with them. And plus, they seem like pretty good competitors. And that's exactly what happened. Cody knocked me out.
So you have this very unique experience where you go in the house and you're there. You have, everything goes wrong that first night.
Oh,
then you
thanks.
Go into sequester. And I do sincerely mean that. I mean, I don't know if you've listened to any of the coverage that we did that night. And certainly there were things that you did that I think if you had a do-over, you would certainly do differently. And I think that Brent and I discussed that at length that first night. But it really was the worst-case scenario where I think you made mistakes, but also everything went wrong. So that's a lethal combination. But we equated that to a invoice that was paid by you for the success of Ian Terry and Steve Moses. Did you look at it the same way?
Yeah, there was a lot of fans in there. Everybody on that first night was just bragging about their super knowledge of the show. And I was trying to downplay that. I said I watched the show from 14, but never watched the live feeds and stuff like that. Never watched other seasons. So I think with the combination of everybody seeing that them winning is a lethal combination, and Jillian's really up there, just like, she's gonna float by, she's not a threat. So it's really only between me and Christmas. They just saw me up there and took it out. Also, from what I understand, is that with Paul coming in, that would have been 9-7 guys to girls. So the girls really wanted to rally against a guy, just so that way they can even it out and not have an unbalanced guy to girl ratio, because they're afraid of a like all guys alliance kind of thing. So maybe if I was up there with another dude, I would have had a better chance.
Okay. Now, in terms of then that experience that you had that first day, then you go and you live in sequester for how long? Were you there for 3 weeks?
Yeah, it was like 4 weeks, because that first week in the Big Brother house was really 2 weeks. So yeah, I was there forever, not knowing what was going on. You know, it felt like prison. It was just like a Martha Stewart prison.
Yeah. And did you feel like you were still on the show at that point? Or did you feel like, you know, I'm going to have such a massive hurdle to overcome to get back into the show? Did you sort of question, like, what's the point at any period, at all during that time?
No, during that whole time, like, they never really explained the reasoning why I was in sequester, but I was always still in game mode. I was always just like, all right, when I get in, I'm going to go to everybody and be like, oh, it's not a big deal. You guys didn't know me. It's not, like, that bad that you evicted me. I'm here now, and let's just play the game now. So that's really what I was thinking about, and I was just thinking I was going to go after Paul because he, like, didn't give me the friendship bracelet. That's, like, the easiest like out for me. So if somebody was like, who you gunning after, it's going to be Paul. So that would be my basic game strategy coming into that house. And it just never stopped. It's just, I was always just like, what am I doing here? What's going to happen? Is there going to be a Pandora's box and I just get to come in? There were so many scenarios going into my head. So yeah, with the battle back, I thought I had a really good chance to come into.
Yeah. Brent, are you just thinking about what might have been right now with Cameron targeting Paul?
I remember when it was 7-4 in the second battle back competition and Cameron was leading, and I was like, oh my God, this might actually happen, because I had managed to stay away from spoilers and I did not see that Cody was the one. So I was like, wow, watching it, like the producers must be shitting themselves thinking that they're going to lose Cody for Cameron. Oh, and I love Cameron. I would love to see him come back in. But, you know, there was so much Cody on the show at that point that they really wanted the Cody Jessica thing to happen. And it would have been great. It would have been fun. Unless you ask Paul. Paul was talking about Cameron on the feeds this week, and he said, you know, he finally got his name right, which, so that's progress. It wasn't Carmen or Malcolm, but he said if Cameron came back in, it would have been really boring. And I have to disagree. It would not have been boring. But much to Paul's chagrin, Paul would have been on the short end of the stick if Cameron got in power.
Yeah, I would have gone after Paul.
Cameron, and it would have been really, you really must have made a negative impression on Paul that he, you didn't get a friendship bracelet. Now he says you were boring.
I know. I don't know why I didn't get a friendship bracelet. If they would have showed me acting silly in the feeds or on the show, they would have showed it. But I don't think I said anything wrong to get a friendship bracelet. Maybe I just didn't schmooze him enough. But I didn't say like, oh, I can't wait to play against you like Matt said. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And Matt, look at Matt. He's a cornerstone of Paul's whole deal in the house. But anyway, so Cameron, then you don't get back in the house in the battle back. Then could you just talk a little bit about what things were like for you after the fact? Did you go through a period where you said, look, I don't want anything to do with Big Brother, just leave me alone? Or did you come right out of the house and as a fan say, I want to watch everything that's happened so far?
No, I took some time for myself. I needed to get back in reality. I was out, even though I wasn't on the show, I was still gone from society for like 30 something days. So that was in itself was bizarre. I was afraid I was coming out to a lot of hate because being the first one out and you're only in there for 12 hours, you know, I thought there was going to be a lot of hate in the community with me. So I just took some time for myself, just really, only talk to my friends and family. People were trying to reach out to me online, but I just ignored them. And then like after a week and a half or 2 weeks, then I finally made my presence known online. And I only recently, like within this week, I've actually caught up on Big Brother and I know what's going on now.
Okay. And you watched the whole season all the way through?
I haven't watched my battle back episode. I think it would be a little too difficult to see my dreams get crushed.
That was your best episode of the season, Cameron.
Well, it was my only second. It was the second one episode I was in. So, no, I didn't watch that one yet.
Okay. Well, let's just check that one out, because at least, you know, you have a victory there.
Yeah.
Something goes right for you.
Thank you, man. Thanks.
Yeah.
That was the little tagline they used at the beginning of the episode of the next episode, Rob. Remember where Cameron's like, well, at least I didn't lose every competition. I came in second. And I'm like, that means you still lost, right?
Hey, man. Hey.
Right.
It was still a victory. I beat people. So, you know what? I'm going to take a win where it is.
I know, right? It was just so funny. The way you said it, it was funny.
I remember there was a podcast that you guys did with Jordan and that one guy that was going for the LFC but came in second. And he was talking about the numbers and how little percentage of people are that win. And I was like, I need to at least win one competition and not be on that list. So that's really what I was thinking about.
Cameron, going back to the battle back night, that I feel like that it was Jillian who was like threw some shade at you that night. Brent, do I have that correct?
Yeah, like I wanted to be like, girl, step back. Who the hell are you? Who the hell are you? Like,
what was up with that?
I don't know. I didn't watch the episode.
Okay. She was like, you know, I'm happy for Cody. Cody's fine. That's great. But Cameron, you know, like, whatever. Like, I'm happy for you, but not really. Like, goodbye. Like, she was real shitty. Lots of shade. And just, like, for no apparent reason whatsoever, then she was utterly terrible at that competition, and you actually beat her.
Yeah, I don't know why that would happen. That's bizarre. I also heard that Cody used my joke in one of his DRs about me not spending much time. I actually said that in the backyard, but it never made it out on the show.
Okay.
So he stole my joke, that guy.
Cody, joke stealer. Have you touched base with any of the other evicted house guests? I'm wondering if you and Ramsey's ever connected.
We've talked a little bit on Twitter. I've talked to Jillian on phone a bit. Jillian's really the only one. Not really that much to talk about. I'm not a real big fan of anybody that evicted me. And that's literally everybody so far.
Okay. Well, let's start to segue into what's going on in the house now. And I'd love to get your insight onto some of this. And so we've had Josh having this HOH run where he really had his heart set on getting Elena out of the house. Paul really pushing for Jessica to go first. What have you thought about Josh?
Well, I thought he was a complete nutcase until recently, like when he was targeting someone that wasn't on Paul's agenda. That's really when I started to get excited about Josh. But then he didn't want to use the ringer replacement. He was all about that. But then once he blinks, which I don't understand what kind of cue that is Josh just supposed to stand up there and not blink for like 10 minutes? It just doesn't make any sense. He's eventually right. going to blink. So I thought I liked his where his head is at. I think he's playing dumb. I think he's doing everything right, actually, to be a big buffoon in this house and stay in law.
Yeah. Brent, in terms of how this was depicted on the show, did you feel like that the show did an accurate job of telling the story of how Josh and Christmas and Paul ultimately went through the sequence of Josh wants to keep Cody on the block, Paul says no way, and then they have that conversation in the HOH?
Yeah, they did a pretty good job. I don't really know what else they could have showed. I mean, I was watching it live on the feeds at the time, and when the feeds went down, I really thought she wasn't going to use the ring. They said that whole thing about blink, if you want me to use it, and he's like, okay. But he had come into that conversation saying, I don't want that power used. Like, it was so frustrating to me, Rob, watching it, because, like, if they had called Josh, because, like, right after that happened is when the veto draw happened. So if they had called Josh to the DR to do the veto draw, like, 10 minutes sooner, they would never have had an opportunity to talk to Paul. Christmas wouldn't have used the ringer replacement. Cody would have won. Cody and Jessica would have still been there. But instead, as it stood, they got a chance to talk to Paul. Paul was like, well, man, it's your HOH. You do what you want. And then quickly followed by a, but if you're asking me, blah, 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 blah. And so Christmas ultimately decides to use the ring of replacement. She says to Josh, because she didn't want Paul to be mad at her. It's still not entirely clear to me if Josh really did want her to use it or not. He said in the DR, I gave her a blink, but it really didn't look like a blink to me. And I'm so lost on that. I would love to talk to either one of them about who really made the call on that.
You know, Cameron, you were up there on the block with Christmas and Jillian that first night, and it came down to there was a vote of, you want to compete or do you want to let the house vote? You wanted to compete. Jillian said, let the house vote. And it was a stunner for us that first night that Christmas, who is this fitness professional, or was, ended up saying, hey, let's have a house vote. She didn't want to compete. And that was almost a harbinger of what life was going to be like for Christmas in the house, where she was never going to get a chance to compete.
Yeah, it was bizarre. I'm still confused to this day why she didn't vote to compete in the competition, because Jillian was up there and she was dead weight in that competition. She was probably dead weight in every competition that she's ever been in. So to me, it was a no-brainer. If I was up there maybe with Christmas and Cody, I would have voted for a vote, but I thought I had a chance against Jillian and potentially against Christmas. So I voted for the competition. I went off on a tangent. I already forgot what you were talking about.
No, absolutely. I'm with you on that. I've looked at all the competitions on Big Brother, and I really can't even find one that Christmas would have lost to Jillian. So I don't understand. On the other hand, Cameron, how much time was there? Did you guys have time to decide whether or not you were going to pick a competition or
no.
a vote? No, you had
none. Literally, couldn't talk at all. They said no talking at all. But there was something that happened before that whole conversation with Julie, and like Christmas was like crying, saying she didn't want to go out on the first night, and like people were feeling bad for her. I don't know if that conversation led to something else, but there was no talking. It's not like everybody split up, we talked, and then came back. It was just that second we went and voted.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So did you know when they decided that it was going to be a house vote that you were in deep trouble that night?
Yeah, well, I knew walking into this game I was going to be in deep trouble because of the like connection that with me, Ian, and Steve, like I got it all throughout casting, that I look the same, I kind of think the same. they're telling me I'm going to be a target just because of my look. And I'm like, yeah, I know. But all I got to do is get in there, show my personality, and then it'll all go away, because I think I'm different than them because I'm a little bit more social than them. And I thought, like, if I was in there for a couple weeks, it would just, that target would go away, and potentially a different target, but like not the immediate, oh, you look like past winners target. So right when I knew it was a vote, I knew I was in a hole.
So you ultimately, and one of the things you did to plead your case was a very famous tried and true strategy of you went to the striptease strategy. Brent,
yeah.
Yes. Quite a common thing we've seen before.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it was a sight. It was fun. I think it had more to do with Elena, because Elena is such a sex object person. Like, I don't even know how to describe her correctly. She's a walking ball of sex. That's what Elena is. And so, like, he asked her, like, should I strip? And Elena's like, sure. And I'm like, of course she would say that, Elena. Now that I know her, after watching her on the feeds for 40 days, of course she would be the one to say, yeah, go ahead, strip, take off your clothes.
It was mentioned by them, actually. I don't know if they edited it, but they asked me to do it for their votes, and I said, I'll do it. Are you sure? And
so who
said,
was yeah. there? Who were the people asking for the striptease?
Jess and Elena.
Jess and Elena. Now, interesting.
Yeah. Because, and I'm not... Yeah, yes. If they're asking me, you know, if it's my only day, I want to like have some fun with it. I was, right. I didn't really think that was going to yield any votes, but I was just like, yeah, I'm going to have some fun. If this is my only time in here. So it's not like I was thinking, oh, I'm going to go in this room and strip for some votes. It was really just the conversation ended up going that way.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, Cameron, I want to talk about something serious here for a moment. So, okay. Yeah. So you get into that room, Elena and Jess tell you, okay, if you take off your clothes and dance for us, then we'll give you the votes.
Yeah.
There was some news reported today by a internet outlet that called TMZ, 30 Mile Zone. And the story reported is about how the Big Brother house guests are furious over unwanted butt poking, which is going on. And the story tells how Jessica Graf approaches house guests and is violating some people through and sneaking up on them. And this is outrage and news, Cameron. Did you feel as though, were you violated while you were in the house?
Is this real? I can't tell if this is real.
It's real.
That's
house
funny.
Guests,
no, I
furious.
I didn't feel violated.
Unwanted butt poking.
I know that the house guests are complaining about it. I don't know that this story is real. Rob, you didn't make this up, did you?
I didn't make this up.
Okay. Well, crazy. I know the house guests are complaining about it. Like they it's just because they hate Jessica.
Yeah,
from
if
my
you
opinion.
Want the link, tmz.com/2017/08/09 big-brother-houseguest-butt-poking.
That's so silly.
Yeah. Anyway, like I said, it's because they hate Jessica that they're picking on stuff about her natural personality. Like, I mean, if they don't want her to do that, they just need to say, hey, like, that invades my personal space. From my perspective, other people touch other people in ways that could be construed as you're violating my personal space, and they don't say anything about it. Mm-hmm. So it's like they're picking on Jessica and they're not picking on other people. It's just more of the same for this house, whatever.
Yeah, it sounds like a mob mentality, really.
Yeah.
They're trying to find anything that they can against Jody, and they're just going to run with that.
Okay. All right. So luckily you came away unscathed. That's a good thing. You're better off out of the house.
I don't know. I'd rather be in the house first.
Putting up with this abuse.
Yeah.
From Jessica. All right. So ultimately, we saw the veto play out tonight, and Jessica did not win. There was this plan, though, to try to get Elena to be the target. That's who Josh wanted to target. We saw Josh have a conversation with Jess and Cody, and Brett, I thought that Jess and Cody came off pretty bad tonight in
They're
that
terrible. Everyone is terrible. The only person not terrible is Cameron. Yeah.
Oh,
all of them
sweet.
Suck. They just suck. I want so bad to root for them. I want to shake them even before and after the veto. I mean, that's, I suppose that's spoiler, but whatever. They've just been terrible. They're terrible players. They refuse to take yes for an answer. That's the problem with Jessica and Cody. There's a way to save them. You see it on the show already. She's giving up. It is literally Monday as they are showing this in real time. Monday, so there's 3 days to go, and she's given up. She's like, well, you know, if I'm going to go out, I'm just going to make sure I turn the house upside down and have some fun, and, you know, I'm already thinking about life with Cody on me on the outside. I'm like, honey, you've got 3 days and two juicy targets up there who nobody likes. You can turn this around. She's never entertained the possibility that Josh is on her side. I will say, just as a small defense of her, that Josh's like mood, like she said, goes from like 0 to 120 and back to 0 in a heartbeat. So it's really hard for her to tell what's reality and what's not with him. But on the other hand, she's the one on the block. She has to keep an open mind. She has to keep fighting, and she's not doing it.
You know, really, that we had said for a long time, going back to the battle back, that the worst thing that could happen for her game is for Cody to come back. Because she actually got herself in a pretty good position right before Cody came back into the house. And then, yes, she got to play the halting hex this past week. But her chances of winning the game went from, you know, she had a shot, certainly before Cody came back, to that Cody has really just the two of them are very toxic for each other's chances in terms of winning the game. Cameron, you said you cared for Cody, but you didn't say anything about Jessica. Do you like Jessica?
Oh, she didn't give me her vote, so no. But seriously, I do like Jessica. You know, she seemed fun in the house. She's the one that instigated this striptease. You know, I didn't really have much to go on in that house. So, you know, you're voting people out in 12 hours of knowing them. I don't even know if they all really knew my name at the point when they were casting it. Right. So, but I did like everybody in the house. Like, you know, your first day, you like everybody. But now I still like Jess. I still like Cody. But there's some people.
Okay, well, let's talk about that. Who is it that you really have a bad feeling about? Is it Paul?
Yeah, well, I'm tired of the Paul show, really. It's like him narrating everything that's going on, and Raven just complaining about all of her diseases.
All right, well, let's take it through one at a time, okay? Because there's been a lot of controversy on the outside, and there's a lot of people who feel like, and Brent has been very vocal about this, that tired of Paul, that the show has become too much Paul at this point in the season, and people are getting tired of the same old, which is Paul always getting his way in the season. You were the first victim of this. No victim noises, but you were the first person to feel the wrath of that, not getting one of the friendship bracelets and being one of the first people out. Did Paul vote against you in that first vote? Or he didn't have a vote? He didn't have a vote.
Paul didn't have a vote.
Did he have a thumb on the scale in any way? Was he telling people to vote one way or the other?
He said he didn't really have anything, but, you know, he's given people friendship bracelets. He's basically got 8 allies right off the bat. So if I had to guess, he would have some pull one way or the other. But I don't know if he was in any conversations at all. But I'm really sick of him just like telling people what to do. People are asking for their permission to talk to other people in the house. It's just a nightmare just to watch him like basically control everybody, and nobody realizes how much power they have over him. Pretty much everybody, they can do whatever they want, and they're just all going to him. It's terrible.
Cameron, do you hold Paul responsible for this? Was your dream to go on to Big Brother? You get there, you finally make it. Do you feel like, is Paul the reason why this ended so quickly for you?
I want to say yes, but ultimately no. Like, part of the Big Brother experience is going through all the twists and like maneuvering your way through. No matter how crazy a twist is, there's always a way out of it, and I just really couldn't figure it out that way. But I can't really blame one person. If there's one person to blame, it's me for not being in there right now.
Did you like Paul on Big Brother 18?
I did like Paul, but the second he comes into 19, he's like, oh, I got new catchphrases for you. And I'm like, what the f***? This guy's a tool. Like, he starts listing off catchphrases. He's like, I'm going to call you the boys this season. I don't even know all of them. I was just like, oh, this is just an act. This is not his actual personality. So it really, maybe he picked up on that too.
So you were not down with the new catchphrases. I haven't heard any new catchphrases this season.
It's probably because production was like, hey, we like the old one.
We didn't go to the concert to hear your new single. Play the hits, Paul. So do you feel like that the house will ultimately revolt against Paul? Because I've said the whole season, I feel like that somewhere along the way, I don't think that Paul's going to be able to take this all the way to the finish. And that's one of the reasons why I haven't been down on Paul, because I feel like that eventually, I'm a little bit going out on a limb and saying that I don't think that he'll pull it off. So I'm in it for the ride. But I think there's a lot of people who are pretty fatalistic about that. No, this is going to be a wire-to-wire Paul victory this season. Do you think that the house will revolt at some point, Cameron?
I hope so, but like everybody said the same about Derek. I'm not really comparing Paul to Derek, but everybody said that there's no way Derek can hold it all together to the end, and then he ended up doing it. And if there's anybody in the house, I can't see anybody at this point, like besides Jody or now Cody, on Thursday, who's going to revolt against him. I just don't see it happening in the next couple of weeks. So I hope so. But I don't really see anybody doing it. People are just going as pawns on the block. It's just disgusting.
Okay. Gun to your head, do you feel like that Paul's going to win the season?
No.
Yeah. Brent, what about you? No.
Me? Is that what you said?
Yes. At this point in time, would you say, is Paul the winner of the season? Gun to your head today?
I mean, it's really tough. I'm tempted to say yes, because I feel like if they don't get him out by Final 7, that's it. It's going to be like Kevin Martin on Big Brother Canada or Big Brother Canada 5 all over again, where like once it gets to those memory comps, what day this happened, those, you know, what event happened in what order, you know, what was the order of the head of households and all that. Like, no one's going to beat Paul in any, I mean, Rob, let's talk for a second. He's going to be competing most likely against Christmas, who can't compete, Kevin, who doesn't know anything about what happened whenever, Jason, who's even worse at it, Josh, who's a total meatball. The only person who could possibly beat him in any of these competitions is Alex. That is it. That is all. And that is those people are the people in his final six. So unless somebody who's not in the final six decides to do something about it, then I feel like Paul's going to win. So I'm going to say yes.
Okay. Cameron, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to this. I know that you're still catching up on a lot of life, but this past week that Taryn Armstrong did an interview with Ian Terry on the Taryn Show, and Ian Terry talked a little bit about watching you play, and what he was saying was that he really had a visceral reaction to watching you go out that first night, because he felt like that his biggest thing going into the house was that he was afraid of some twist where he could be the first person to leave if they had some sort of a night one vote, even though they did have a pseudo night one vote in Big Brother 14, which sent Jody out of the house. He was very afraid that he would have easily been in the same position as you, and it really affected him to think about how, you know, easily the same outcome, the winner of his season, probably Steve Moses too, the same exact thing would have happened to those two winners of the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's everybody's fear when they go into the Big Brother house. It's really nice to hear from them, because they are my favorites to watch on the show, because I can relate to them, and I think they're just really cool guys. But yeah, it was a fear of mine, too. And unluckily for me, the ball bounced the wrong way and went right towards me. And, you know, the first eviction is always the worst, and usually you have 15 days in there or something, and then even then it's still crap. You don't really even know anybody then. But the 12 hours is just, all first day evictions are terrible. I don't know anybody that likes them. The fans don't like them. The players don't like them. I don't know. Maybe they get good ratings out of them, but who knows? It's not good for anybody.
Mm-hmm. You know, Ramsey's also struggled in this season and was also somebody that Paul really had a big target on. What is it about the people that are the super fans of the show that makes them such a threat to Paul?
Maybe because Nicole won last season, and Nicole was like a huge fan in her season, and she had all this Big Brother knowledge, and he must have been afraid of people with Big Brother knowledge. So that's why he's aligning people with Kevin and Jason. I'm not sure how big of a fan Christmas is. So I think that's what it is. He just wants a bunch of idiots, which is also how I felt. Like when I asked Cody how much he watched the show and he said, oh, I just started. I was like, all right, good. Because then you don't know what's coming up. So that's probably where Paul is coming at. Maybe I shouldn't have said I was a huge fan of his. Maybe everybody that did ended up getting on the trapeze with me. But so, yeah, that's what I think is what it is. That's probably why people picked on Megan, because she claimed to have been a super fan, too.
Yeah. Brent, I think it's interesting, though, that he didn't seem to have this same concern last season with Big Meech, did he?
No, but he really didn't know what he was doing last season, Rob. I mean, remember, he was in the minority for the first few votes. He had no power whatsoever until like week four or five. And I'm sure at that point felt like he was constantly, you know, like trying to keep his head above water just to stay in good with everybody. So and Big Meech, you know, she was a bit of a super fan. But there are also four other vets who came back that year. So it was like spread amongst everybody. There was a lot of vet-splaining going on amongst all of the people who came in, you know, who had their teams with the, I forget what the names were, but you know, you remember what it was, Rob.
Yeah. Yeah.
Category four.
Category four. Thank you. Freakazoids. Oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah. Okay. Big sister.
Now,
yeah. Yeah.
Cameron, we saw tonight after Mark ends up winning the veto, he comes down off the block and it's time for Josh to pick a replacement nominee. And there's a conversation that Josh is having with Matt and Raven about who should be the replacement nominee. And both of them are like falling over themselves to like, hey, I'll volunteer to go up on the block. I'll take one for the team. This is a good week to be up on the block. What is your reaction to seeing players talk that way?
There's no good week to be up on the block. You know who won 16? Derek, and he was never on the block. That's what you want to do. And it looks like right after the competition, they ran right up to Josh and was like, Here we are. We're ready. We're ready to take one for the team. It's just silly. I don't understand why they think it's a good idea. If things change every day in that house, so who knows if Raven is even safe, but I would never volunteer to be on the block. No,
it seems like, Cameron, the problem is that they're not playing Big Brother. They're really not, because you know what the show didn't show you tonight was that they were even aghast that Mark decided to use the veto on himself. Like, that is the kind of people that we're dealing with in the house. They're like, how dare he, you know? Like, he knows somebody's going to have to go up on the block in place of him. Why doesn't he just sit up there and take it like a man? Like, why does he have to use the veto? It's a total cult groupthink that Paul has his hold over the house right now, and that's just how they operate. Alex is already volunteering herself for next week, where she's like, God. Oh, yeah, you can put me up next week. And other people are like, what about me? What about me? Like, it's like a fight to see who wants to be the pawn now, for God's sake.
It doesn't make any sense. That's also one of the more difficult things to deal with once you're in the house, is people that aren't playing in their own best interest. People that, like Jessica and Cody, who are only playing for themselves, or the whole mob playing against them. They're not really thinking about themselves, and that's really hard to pitch. So when you're trying to rally votes, if you're playing with people that aren't thinking in their own best interest, that's harder to deal with. So there's probably also that also with why Jessica is struggling to find her way out of the hole.
All right, Cameron, let me throw something out here, and you tell me if you agree or disagree with this statement. As a super fan of this game, the worst case scenario for Paul is for right after this week, if Jessica goes out, that Cody goes out next. That is the worst case scenario for Paul.
Yeah, that's worst case scenario, because who's the next big target? It's Paul. So, yeah, if I'm Paul, I want another big adversary in that house. And, like, you want that back-and-forth mentality going on. You want to put him on the block, but have him, like, win veto and get his way off. Because that way, the target isn't on you, it's on him. So, if I was him, I'd be hoping that Cody wins the next veto.
Brent, what do you think about that? Do you agree with that philosophy that as long as Cody is in the house, Paul is going to be safe, but once he goes out of the house, then people are going to start looking at the next biggest target, which is Paul?
I don't know that it's an equal trade-off, because I feel like Cody is one of the people who could win a competition and really do some damage to Paul's alliance. If not get him out, but at least split up that big group of people who are all letting Paul take the lead right now. So I don't know that it's a good trade, but I do take your point that, you know, once Cody goes out, that Paul might be looking like a juicier target. There are already rumblings in the house, even like before the veto draw, where, you know, you saw Christmas saying, you know, hey, don't do everything Paul says, you know, this isn't Paul's HOH, and we've never really heard that before this week, so hopefully there's more of that.
Okay. Now, Mark ended up winning the veto tonight, and he said something very unusual, and I thought I misheard him, and I'm sorry that I don't have the clip pulled from the episode tonight, but he ended up referring to that I'm not a meatball, I'm a cannoli, and he said it again during the replacement ceremony. Brent, what the hell is Mark talking about with cannoli? Okay. I thought meatball was stupid. Cannoli makes meatball look like that it's the Fruit Loop dingus of greatest, I don't even know.
Yeah, I remember when I was on the podcast with you when you had such a problem with the whole meatball thing.
And you were
I was like,
great. What are you worried about?
I know. I'm so with you on this one, though. Like, this makes no sense whatsoever. Like, there's no humor here. It's terrible. Try again. Workshop it.
Cameron, with the meatball and cannoli, is anybody in this house even Italian?
It seems like everybody just wants their own catchphrase so that way they can play next season. So they're just taking a page out of Paul's playbook, and they're just trying to come up with something. Throwing stuff against the wall, seeing what sticks.
Yeah. Okay, well, I ate a bunch of cannoli when I was in New York this past week, and lose it, Mark. It's not working. Stop trying to make cannoli happen. There's nothing about Mark. Where did cannoli even come from?
I love the Mean Girls reference.
Yeah, stop it, Mark. Stop it. Knock it off. You said you don't like Raven. What's the issue, Cameron? You don't have sympathy for Raven and everything she's been through?
No, like, that was like the first thing that she talked about when I was in the house, like, was her disease, and like she brought it up a couple times, and I was already annoyed, like, doesn't she have anything other to talk about? And now that I've come out of the house and I see that's literally all she ever talks about, it's kind of comical at this point. And like, just her mom also on Facebook is just posting some crazy stuff, so pretty much everything in that whole family is kind of bizarre to me.
Yeah. Is it true that you were donating your stipend from Big Brother to Raven Foundation?
That is not true. That is not true. I need my money and I need it now.
What's been the most surprising thing for you getting to watch this season play out?
The most surprising thing is just how many showmances happen so quickly. That's bizarre to me, because showmances are, in my opinion, bad for your game, because you see Mark and Elena go up right next to each other, Jessica and Cody go up right next to each other. When Josh is talking for a replacement nominee, he's talking to another showmance. So it's just bizarre to me how many showmances there are and just how quickly they form.
Yeah. Would you have had a showmance in the house? No, you have a girlfriend, right?
No, I have a girlfriend, yeah. Okay. But I was going to flirt with girls if I needed to. So, but that didn't end up working out, so whatever.
Whatever, yeah. What did your significant other say when she watched your striptease on TV?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Well, she just ignored it, so she probably hated it.
Yeah. Look, that's of the three outcomes, ignoring is the second best one. So that's
for sure.
Okay. I want to start to dive into some questions from the listeners. Brent, did you have anything else that you want to ask Cameron before we dive into some listener questions?
No, I was going to just ask him really quickly to let everybody know, because I know that the fans and I had talked about it on Twitter, the whole, you know, like, you look so interesting and fun, and you look like a jock right now is what I'm trying to say, Cameron. Whoa. You look like, with the t-shirt, you look, and like, but you went into the house.
An alpha
like,
male, Brent?
Yes, he looks like an alpha. Dare I say. Oh, my God. So my point being that you didn't have a choice in that. You had to wear those glasses, right?
Yeah. Yeah. There was somebody on this podcast that also had to wear his glasses. So.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Alex Kidwell.
Oh. No. JP.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. All right. Well,
JP. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Cameron, we also got to see Otev tonight as a big brother fan. What did you think of this iteration of the possessed pig Otev?
I was confused. It was like split personalities are going on. It was, and he was like juking on everybody, and it was like projectile vomit, like hurting them. It was hilarious. And then when it went from like mean pig to friendly pig, I was cracking up the whole time. Whoever these challenge producers are this season, I think it's Trevor Boris. He's coming up with some funny ones.
Does Trevor Boris work on the U.S. version of Big Brother?
I think that he did it this season. I think he signed up.
Okay. Well, he'd be a good person to bring onto the team. Brent, that Julie teased on Thursday night that this was going to be the beginning of Hell Week, and we saw the, you know, zombie use the leg golf competition, and then we saw the scaring competition, and then Otev was throwing up. Is the theme week working for you, Brent?
Not really. I mean, I liked the BBOTT one where, you know, there's the safety competition of looking for the stuff in the haunted house, so to speak. But I thought this was a terrible time to use Otev for me. The fact that they made Otev a possessed pig and they changed his eyes and they spit at the contestants, that was all fun. But I just thought it was a bit misplaced. I thought Otev was miscast. That's what I'm trying to say, Rob.
Okay. And Otev further?
It would have been more fun if they had, like, I was campaigning for like a graveyard, like BB7 All Stars, like how bad do you want it kind of thing, because I thought that would have went really good with the theme. But you know, they made their call and this is what we got. So and if that stupid ring had come into play, Cody could have won this thing, but whatever.
Yeah,
Christmas is an idiot for playing that thing.
Right. And really quickly, I'm so glad you brought that up. I suspected this, but it was never ever vocalized in the house as far as I can tell, I guess because Paul can't vocalize it to anybody. But I said that even though Paul really selfishly wants Christmas to use that ring to get Cody out of the veto competition, he wants Jessica to go home. It was great to see him vocalize in the diary room that his true reason for wanting her to use that ring was so that she couldn't backdoor him later on and get him out of the game, which was, I suspected, was what he was doing. So good on him for getting it out of the game, because that was all Paul's doing.
Yeah, I thought that was smart, and I feel like that we should, you know, continue to give Paul credit for the good moves that he's making. Cameron, would you say that Paul has played very well? I know we really pick on that, okay, everybody is just following him like lemmings, but would you say that Paul has done a good job in sort of fostering that atmosphere?
Yeah, he's definitely been doing a good job. But he was also given a lot of advantages in the beginning to set himself up to where he is now. He gave 8 people friendship bracelets. He had immunity. So there's just a lot going his way at the beginning, and you want to be allies with somebody like that. And I don't think that people have realized that his immunity is up. But given where he is right now, yeah, he's doing really good.
Now, if Cody ends up being alone in the house without Jess after tomorrow night's eviction, is there any hope for Cody to rebound, or do you think that Cody is just going to be on a suicide mission to try to take Paul down?
I think, yeah, he's going to be on a suicide mission. He's going to be going full kamikaze mode on Paul. It doesn't matter. He said it at the end of this episode. He doesn't care about winning. He just wants to make sure that they lose. So, yeah, I think that's his whole intention going forward. I don't think he has a chance to win.
Okay. And real quick, one other person that we haven't touched on, Kevin, is somebody who has a lot of goodwill out here in the audience of the show. Did you have any memorable moments with Kevin?
Oh, yeah. Kevin, all right. He always says Illinois because I'm from Illinois. And he was just calling me Illinois all day. And then I find out that he voted to evict me, which I was pretty confident that he was voting to evict Christmas. So then when I found out he voted to evict me, I'm like, sweet, somebody lied to me in that house. I got like excited. So I don't know. I like Kevin. He's a character. He was just always like, you're my nephew. I like my nephew. I'm not going to vote you out. You don't have to worry about me, anything like that. So yeah, I like Kevin.
Yeah.
I have to say, Cameron, Like, you know, listening to you talk right now, and even like your laugh, which is really contagious and really fun to me, which I'd never really heard before because you had nothing to laugh about really in the Big Brother house. I can totally see why you were cast. I'm actually kind of bummed that they didn't take the opportunity to bring you back when Megan quit, because I feel like that would have been a really, really juicy time for that to happen.
Yeah, me too. I wish they would have done that. Yeah, I didn't even know that she quit. I thought she was the first person, the next person evicted, but I didn't know her name, so I just said Ramsey's on stage.
Did that really burn you up when you found out that Megan left the game?
Oh, of course, yeah. I was like really, really upset because nobody in Big Brother has ever quit the game, and like I wanted to be there so bad. I was in prison basically for a month just for a chance to get back in that house. And so many people apply and like don't get that opportunity. So yeah, of course I'm pissed. If you want to leave the game, you can find a way to get a big game. That's how I feel. So just the fact that she had this opportunity, she was also very anti-me in that house. When I was talking to her, she was giving me like a cold shoulder, and I don't think she really liked me that much. And so she was able to dish it out. She was able to get me out. But the second she's taking heat, she quits. So that also like made me very upset.
Okay, let's take some questions from the listeners. Again, hashtag RHAP for that. And here is a question. This is from Who Cares on Twitter. Would Cameron go back and play Big Brother if invited back? What would you do differently? Now, you wouldn't go back, right?
What do you mean?
I think anybody would go back.
Yeah, I think anybody would go back into the house. What would I do differently? I really never even had a chance to play, so I can't say I would do anything differently.
Well, here's your shot.
Walk around with my glasses off more? I don't know.
I think that you need, you know, we had in Big Brother OTT, Jose was the first person voted out of the house, and that they, you know, had a fan vote to potentially bring him back. So, you know, I'd say that nothing is impossible.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they've ever brought somebody back that was the first evicted house guest. I think Brian was the closest. In Big Brother, expect the unexpected. I'm not holding my breath, but if they call, I'm answering. So yeah, that's fine.
Okay. All right. Feeds Cat wants to know, Cameron, what would your strategy be to reassimilate into the house if you beat Cody in the battle back? Okay. So hypothetical, you got into the house. What would you do? Start to get close to Jessica?
I would have actually tried to get in between the showmances, tried to bend the fifth wheel in those showmances. Would be my plan. And then when I get power strike at Paul, just because I would say, hey man, you didn't give me a friendship bracelet. Just tit for tat. But he would be my target.
Yeah, I have to tell you though, Cameron, Davon would tell you that being the fifth wheel between two showmances.
That was so stupid. It's like a golden ticket to the final three, and she doesn't take it? Oh, my God.
I love it. He knew what I was going to say. I couldn't even finish it. He already knew what I was going to say. It's so funny.
I thought that was a great position. I think that's what Kevin Martin and JP talked about after Big Brother Canada 3, and Kevin Martin was actually in that position, but, like, you know, those two other people.
Dylan and Karen. Yeah, they were showmates.
Cameron, you seem well-versed in all things Big Brother Canada. Did you watch all the seasons of that as well?
I watched 4, 3, and 5. I haven't watched 2 and 1 yet.
Okay. 2's good.
2's good.
Two is like
all the people in the house wake up and they decide to like start targeting like Paul and everybody. Like that's what 2's like. So if you want like a taste of that, go watch 2.
Okay.
Yeah, I should watch.
Whitney Dawn says, will the jury milestone be enough for house guests to finally start making big moves? Okay, so we had so much talk, Cameron, this season of, hey, once we get to jury, that's when I'm going to start playing the game. Is this all talk or are you buying the hype?
Yeah, I'm actually buying the hype because whoever comes in third makes as much money as who comes in, 11th? So I could see them finally being like, all right, it doesn't matter which place I come in. I'm playing for the win now. This is my game. It's my time to shine. This isn't Paul's game. Last season was Paul's time. So that's basically what I would be saying to people. And hopefully that's what they're actually thinking internally. So, Yeah, it could happen.
Brent, are you buying this theory that there's like a bit of like a bubble going on in the game right now, like a poker tournament where everybody that gets to a certain point places, and then we will start to see a more aggressive game once we get past that jury milestone?
Well, they're literally in the money. I mean, that's a lot. It's an $8,000 difference if you make jury or not, which I think is terrible. But of course, then again, maybe I'm not in the position that a lot of these people are, where they quit their jobs and they have no money. So I get where some of them are coming from. But I think it's a bad thing for them to vocalize it. People like Matt have said, you know, once I get the jury, you know, I'm pulling out all the stops. I want to make moves. I'm going to do this. Like, you don't want to say that. Like, tell us that, but don't tell them that. I feel like he's doing a really bad job, because I feel like after, you know, the first showmance is Cody and Jessica, then it's going to be Marlena, and then after that it's going to be Matt and Raven. I mean, that, and it's troubling to me that he cannot see the natural progression of the way things are going right now.
Brett, do you think that the Big Brother gameplay, especially in the early season, would improve if you get on the show and everybody who gets on, if you sign the contract for the season, you get $10,000, whether you're the first person out? I know Cameron would say that's fine with him, or yeah, if you make it to third place.
I have to believe that it would improve a lot of things, but on the other hand, you have a 1 in 16 shot at winning $500,000. I mean, it's hard for me because I'm not them, and I feel like I would really go all out for the win, because, but I don't even care about the money. It could be like a toothbrush that they're giving away. I'd want to win, and a lot of these people are there for different reasons than I am. Like Jessica, Christmas, they're there for different reasons. Even Elena is looking for other opportunities. They're not there to play the game. So maybe like the trade-off of getting that money is not a good thing, because they want to be in jury where they're quote-unquote visible. Elena was saying the good thing about her being on the block this week is that she'll have more TV time, so should be more visible. That's how these people are thinking about the game right now. Rob,
Cameron, do you have any thoughts?
I disagree.
Yeah.
Because if things aren't going your way, and if you're like, hey, I could be out in the real world, I could have just as much money, who comes in third, why not get evicted earlier than later?
Oh, you think people would want to, you know, hit the exit?
I think that's what would happen. Like, if, you know, Jody, they know that their time, their number is up, they're gonna go for it. They're just gonna leave, or like.
So you're in favor. You're in favor of it,
no,
or
he's
not
against it?
I disagree. Okay. I like the format that it is now.
Okay.
Actually.
Okay. I thought that you would say the opposite, Cameron. I was saying that like for the little bit, you know, the 5 or 6 people that don't make the jury. I mean, what would it cost to give them the stipend? I mean, would it cost the show another $40,000 in prize money? But that's interesting that you say that.
I'm not result oriented here. I'm just thinking of what would make the best show, and I think that's what this format is.
Okay. This is a question from Miriam, who wants to know, does stripping ever work as strategy, or does it seal the fate of first out? Jace, Joey, Cameron? Yeah, it does seem like the plight of the desperate player in hindsight, Cameron.
Ian stripped too.
Who did?
So, and he won. Ian. And he won. So, you know what? I don't think it matters.
I mean, I did lose Survivor to somebody who stripped, so... I feel like it's a little bit better in Survivor than in Big Brother. Okay.
And I don't think that we're ever getting voted out because we're stripping. I think it's just the unfortunate point.
Okay.
So
don't want to be results oriented. All right. Yeah. Edmo wants to know, do you think that Jessica would actually shave her head if there was a punishment veto? What did she say? She would rather shave her head than what would she rather shave her head than do?
I think they talk to Josh.
She should talk to Josh.
Yeah, Josh isn't so bad. Like but I understand why he's infuriating, though, because he's a little condescending with the way he talks. Like, he's like, okay, when you calm down, she's like, oh, look, I am calm. Okay, but when you calm down, I will talk. He must have said that at least 5 times tonight, Rob, where he was like, when you calm down, I will talk. It's so condescending because it's like, well, oh, he'll deign to talk to me when he thinks I'm in a better mood, you know? And he's like, well, look, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm not trying to do this to you. But he get to the point, man. That's what they want.
Right.
He always has to, like, qualify 5 things before he'll tell you something.
Yeah, he was reveling in being in the power position in that that conversation. I do think that he dodged a bullet in that they never heard him out, Brent. And I thought that that probably would have been a bad thing for him had he had that conversation, because then he would have given them a lot of ammo to go back and say, hey, Elena, just so you know. And I feel like something similar happened to me in Survivor of the Amazon, where I felt like that Jenna Maresca was on the outs, and I went to go talk to her and said, hey, look, I've got a plan to save you. I've got something that's going to be good. And then she went back and tried to blow up the whole thing in front of my allies to make me look bad. So if somebody doesn't like you, it's a bad idea. Just save them. They don't need to be in on the plan.
Right. Yeah. It's, I mean, again, but a bad gameplay all around from everybody, because I feel like it was not necessarily in Josh's best interest to want to try to enact this plan if he didn't think it could work and do something around, you know, behind Paul's back. And it was also bad gameplay from Jessica and Cody not to hear Josh out and at least listen to what he has to say. He might trip up and say something. It's been so infuriating watching this season more than anything, because so many people are just willing to accept their fate. You know, that podcast that you did with April Lewis from BB6 was so interesting, because that was the week that Ramses had just been evicted, and April was talking like, just make up a lie to get her to use the veto on you. That's all he would have had to do, and she would have done it. She was itching to do it. Just give them the permission to do it. And so many people just seem willing to accept the way what's coming their way in the house right now. It's very disappointing.
Okay, let's do one more question. We'll get into the live feed stuff. Mr. Robot Taryn says, oh, what does it feel to have more diary rooms than Raven and Matt? Is that true, Cameron? Do you have more diary rooms than Raven and Matt?
I think so, yeah.
Wow, look at you.
It shows how bland their personality is, really. So
yeah,
I think it's more of a knock against them. Like, I was only in there for 2 episodes.
Yeah.
So it feels actually pretty good.
Yeah, now Raven was like nowhere to be seen in this episode where she ends up on the block. It was sort of like you didn't see her once in the episode until like 55 minutes in when she's talking about, hey, what is, she said something like, it's never a bad look to take one for the team and you're up the river, but we'll be your paddle, which just very folksy.
I'll be honest, I fast-forwarded through that because I had already sat through it one time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wasn't here for it. I actually tweeted, like, oh, there's Raven. Raven's on the show, because she actually said something about Otev. Like, she, oh, I'm so excited for Otev, even though I don't get to play in it. Yeah,
yeah.
Whatever.
Well, Otev also had a sickness tonight. So.
I know. I can't believe she didn't tie that in.
Yeah.
Oh, like, I kept waiting for her to say something about how she got hit with the slime and that she's going to have to, it's washed off her cream that keeps her alive or something. So yeah.
Cameron, if Paul is successful in this plan, you know, he's got a few different factions that he's working with that each believe that they are the people that are going to the end with him. Who is the final three if Paul is sitting there?
Paul's the final three. It's going to be him, Kevin, and Jason, I think, because they're not going to know to pay attention for the competitions down the line. So that's who I think it will be.
Brent,
I feel like, what? Who did he say?
Kevin and Jason would be the final three with Paul.
No, I feel like Kevin is there, but they're taking Christmas with them to the final three, because Paul has even vocalized in the house that it's easy money. Like, once you get down to final three competition, she can't even compete. Like, there's no part one or part two that you could come up with that where Christmas can compete. And I think they also take Josh with them to four. So I think Kevin and Josh, you know, whoever, like, if one of them wins the veto, the other one goes home. But Christmas is sticking around until the end. And she's also a bit of a bitch too.
Oh,
so she's not exactly winning any hearts and minds.
She was a witch tonight.
Yeah, I thought that was funny. I liked that. I didn't actually hear that. So I mean, he might have said that right before the
beats came back on. No, Cody said she's a witch, and she, after she did the Ring of Replacement.
I'm saying that Christmas is actually a pretty good goat, because no one's going to reward her for not competing in any of these competitions. They're not going to feel bad for her, and her personality is a little bit harsh.
Okay.
What are you talking about? I disagree. I think that she has a good case saying that she was fighting from day one. She was on the block with me. And then she got injured and then had to make it all the way to the end via her with her social game, not her competition.
Well, she said that in the house. She said that. But I think the real reason, it's like, I'm like, oh, so you mean just being as pathetic as possible so no one will like try to evict you. That's kind of what I take from her, because like, why would you evict her, Cameron? She can't do 80% of the competitions. Ugh.
Okay, yeah. We'll see. Now, Cameron, I'm going to be on the lookout to see if your double called shot, if Paul gets to the end with Kevin and with Jason, if that's the final three, we'll be on the lookout for if Paul says, okay, I've got it. Here's the alliance. We're going to be the boys. That's going to be the alliance.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you. That's what's going to happen.
All right.
Mark my words.
Is it boys with a Z or with an S?
Who knows? It hasn't made the hashtag on the show yet.
Yeah, be on the lookout for that. That's a sneak preview. All right, let's get into what's coming up on the spoilers. If you are going to bounce out here, I mean, hang in there. I mean, don't be so precious about the spoilers. But if you're leaving us anyway, we'll be back on Thursday night. Spencer Clawson, another beard guy, is going to join us on Thursday night for the show. So be on the lookout for that. And with that being said, let's get into spoiler mode. And Cameron, will you be doing any spoiler twerking for us tonight?
If you want.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Okay. All right.
That was exciting.
All right.
Exciting.
Here we go.
Living that life.
All right. Well, we lived it. All right. So let's get into everything that's going on from the live feeds. First, Brent, the vote, nothing happening there, right?
I mean, there might have been something happening, but it's not happening anymore. Right now, Jessica's going home. They just, again, they refuse to take yes for an answer. There's a way to save you. And they're like, no. We're good right now. Like, we don't want to play Big Brother. We don't want to talk to anybody. We just want to sit in the room and talk about the fact that she may or may not be pregnant. Maybe the chat room can tell me, has she had her period yet? Because I kind of missed that. I know she hadn't had it for like a month. Whatever. Anyway, the point being, there was a way that they may have been able to save them with a couple of hinky votes combined with a couple of regular votes combined with Mark's vote, but that all went up the river because Cody and Jessica blew their top yesterday with Josh, and they just look like they look terrible in the house, if not on the outside.
Okay, did you bury the lead there that we have a Jessica pregnancy scare going on?
I don't know. Let me look in the chat room. I know that they've been talking about, and they also played the baby on the feeds because that may or may not be part of an HOH competition.
Or might be they've gotten a pregnancy test back.
Oh, okay. The chat room is telling me she hasn't had her period yet. So, whoops.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
A Big Brother baby. Left.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Will they name the baby Cameron?
Oh. I feel like they should name it Malcolm or Carmen.
Crawford is my favorite.
Thank you. That's the one I forgot. Damn it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So back to the vote. Yeah. I mean, we've been talking about it all week long, Cameron. What might have been if Jessica was able to play this better, that there was certainly the glimmer of hope of what Josh wanted to do to get Elena out of the house. But alas, it's looking like it could be a big missed opportunity for Jessica.
Yeah, for sure. I think Jessica had a good chance of winning this. But I think just them combined, Jessica and Cody, they just like form this like cluster of anger that's in the house. And like, I could understand why people don't want that in the house, like that negative energy that, and there's that mob mentality going on. There's just a lot to dislike in that house. I mean, you could see on the live feeds, I don't really watch live feeds, just like the clips that I see, but there's a lot of like screaming back and forth, a lot of pots banging, and a lot of them just going to one person and ganging up on that person. So I'm not a big fan of that style, but Jessica, she had a chance and it doesn't seem like she's going to get her way.
Yeah, that is interesting, sort of like the piranha-like feeding frenzy, which tends to happen in this particular house. Do you feel like, is that a Paul manifestation, Cameron, in your mind?
No, I think that's just, actually, yeah, maybe he's the one that's, telling them all, we got to make it to jury. They're preventing us from making it to jury. So I can see that they're like, they're looking at them all and getting angry because Jessica used the hex and they should all be in jury. So they're just going to take that out. It's really Paul just fueling that fire that they're preventing them from making it to jury.
Yeah, but that us versus them gets dicey pretty quick, Brent, as we were talking about earlier for Paul.
Yeah, it does. I always think that the way that even though I liked the TV moment of Jessica saying, you know, I have the hex and I can protect me and Cody, you know, right on the live show like she did. It was really wonderful to see from an entertainment point of view. But I think she played it so badly that whole week, and then she wouldn't tell Paul the real nature of the hex. And then when she did tell him, she told him too much. She told him that she had to use the hex before the vote. So even if she didn't play the hex, they were going to vote her out anyway. So there's so many missed opportunities for them, and I think that she could have both Cody and Jessica by themselves. I'm going to predict Cody's going to be okay for a little while. I feel like they could be okay by themselves, but together they're just terrible for each other because they just sit in that room and talk to each other the whole time, and they don't play Big Brother. They're on The Bachelor, mm-hmm. and that's really terrible. And those are the people that I'm rooting for at this point, which is terrible. So, I lost your question, by the way. I apologize.
We saw that Jessica did well without Cody. We'll get to see if Cody can potentially do well without Jessica, and if there's a chance. Now, tonight, the feeds are down right now, Brent, for the halfway party. I don't understand why they do this.
Why they do a halfway party right when someone who's not going to make jury is going to be a part of it? I don't know. Unless there's up to something. Matt Liguori.
What's the point? If you're producing this show, why do the halfway party where you have to turn the feeds off? From a production standpoint, what is the point of the halfway party?
Well, I don't know. There is a point. I think that's just something they always do. I mean, it's so freaking boring in a house that anything to get out of the monotony of, you know, every day looking like the last day, especially like, you know, Monday after the veto ceremony to Thursday is really boring. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. What I was going to say was maybe there's, you know, I think it's crazy that they're having Jessica be a part of this so-called party. But on the other hand, maybe they're going to have like a 10-person jury and like, you know, give a curveball to the rest of the house guests. Like it's a 10-person jury and America's voting for the winner as well. So that makes 11. So something, I don't know. I'm grasping at straws here, Rob.
Cameron, do you have any thoughts on this? Why do you have a party in the Big Brother house that the people who watch the show can't see?
They do this in Canada too. I think it's just because they want to talk over loudspeakers and they don't want people to hear it from the outside world. Maybe they're going to say like, hey, you're being too loud or something like that. But also, you can't really have good DRs for a party, so they're probably just shutting down everything. They're probably also having the crew take it easy that day.
I'm sorry. Rob, it's the music. They're playing music at the halfway party.
Play music in the house if you can't show it? Like, why are they're in the process of making a show?
Rob, they know that people like us, the people who watch the feeds, will be there come rain or come shine. No matter how badly you treat us, all you gotta do is look at Big Brother Canada for that, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, they turn the feeds off all the living time up there, and we aren't even paying for it.
Is the reason that it's a party for the crew of Big Brother? That's a halfway party for them?
I think they're just doing something nice for the house guests, and maybe something interesting will come out of it. I don't know. Okay. Rob, I don't know.
I'm sorry. Brent, I have an inquiring mind. I'm curious to know the genesis of why they are doing this. It seems to be like there's no good answer that there's like usually like an obvious reason why things happen, unless it's just that they deserve a party after 45 days of doing nothing.
I mean, the chat room is basically saying because they've always done it like this. So that's kind of like how most things in the world are, Rob, where it's like we do it this way because we've always done it like this, you know?
All right. So we'll see. I guess the highlight of the last one was that when the feeds came back on and then Karen was like puking right when the feeds came back on.
Yeah. That was good times, Rob. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, Brent, let's talk about this fight that went down between the Josh versus Jessica and Cody, which started with the spelling bee.
How in the hell? I go away for one flipping day. I go to see mom and dad so I can go to the casino, and then all hell breaks loose on the Big Brother feeds. I had to go flashback and watch the whole damn thing. Jessica, out of nowhere, decides to get smart to Josh, somebody who is potentially in her corner, you know, even though she doesn't know it, and decides to say, well, you didn't even know how to spell drought, Josh. Or she said, basically, spell drought.
Cameron,
and then,
spell drought.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, here we go. D-R-O-U-G-H.
That's correct.
Right. And it just was picking on him to pick on him. And then, you know, he went after her, and then Paul like talked to Josh and got him riled up. And then he came back down and said, well, at least I can spell evicted. And there's nothing worse. There's nothing worse, though, than waiting like 10 minutes later for your comeback, which is basically what happened with Josh and Jessica. Like he had like somebody had to tell him the comeback.
The jerk store called. They're running out of you, Jess.
Okay. So it just was terrible. And then Cody got in on it. Basically, like they went after the Cody and Jessica. Cody and Jessica went after Josh. They called him a fat ass. By the way, Taryn, honey, this is rap. It's not like the 700 Club. You can say fat ass on the podcast. It's not that terrible. Yeah. Saying fat butt was like, what, really? Fat butt? Like, that doesn't even sound right. That sounds terrible.
Brett
like,
is like what are we? To, Brett is referring to.
Oh, my God. Workshop
the live. Feed update this morning where Taryn was giving a transcript of what was said and how Josh was repeatedly called a quote-unquote fat butt by Jessica. Look, Brett, I did not order any sort of censorship of Taryn. I give him the full discretion to go there, but in fairness to Taryn, it's what 10 a.m. when they're doing that, you know, it doesn't feel like sometimes, you know,
yeah. Yeah, I'm still sleeping.
You're live in the morning. Maybe, you know, you want to go with fat butt over fat ass.
Yeah, I know. I suppose. Maybe. Anyway, that's what happened. They were mean to Josh. Josh started crying. Again, your biggest problem with Josh, Rob, is that Josh can sure dish it out, but he can't take it. He went and got the pots and pans. Cody said, I'm going to take the pots and pans away from you. And he went up to him to grab the pots and pans, and then the feed's cut. And now production has now told Josh that he can't do the pots and pans anymore because he's going to incite a fight, which he was trying to do in the first place. I don't think you should be allowed to bang pots and pans right in front of somebody to irritate them to hit you. Like that should not be allowed.
I agree with that, Cameron. Well, yeah. What's your take on the pots and pans?
Pots and pans was funny the first time, mm-hmm. but if it's the dozenth time, everybody's annoyed. The live feeders are annoyed. If I'm in the house, I'm annoyed. Even if I'm in his alliance, I'm annoyed. It's just not funny anymore.
Yeah. Right, and can we at least get our history right? Dick did that one time to get the target on himself. He was trying to save Danielle. Like, I mean, like, please remember the circumstances of what he was trying to do in the house. There was a method to his madness. Don't try to imitate him. Anyway.
Okay. All right. So then let's talk a little bit about Mark and Paul. What's going on there, Brent?
Mark and Paul, are you talking about Mark and Paul, like as far as the fight goes, or Mark, what Mark's is saying about Paul?
Let's talk about Mark.
The latter is more fun. Okay. Mark was having a conversation with Whistlenut earlier today, which a lot of the chat room is like, Brent must not be watching the feed today. I'm like, I can't talk about it because it happened today. Where he was basically saying what we're saying on the outside, which is Paul's going to march to the end. Everybody says, you know, Paul says jump. They say how high. Everybody's afraid to go against him. Nobody even wants to get an argument with Paul because they're afraid of him so much. And Mark was making a point of saying that, only one person is saying that Cody makes them uncomfortable, and Whistlenut correctly guessed Paul is the answer to who you're talking about because Paul is afraid of him, and Paul is afraid of Cody because Cody would come after him, and everybody else is currently his best friend. So at least when he said that, when Mark said that to Jason, to Whistlenut, Whistlenut said, hey, look, I'm guilty, dude. You know, I'm guilty of worshiping at the altar of Paul. So I am hopeful that this is the start of something. I'm not really optimistic, but at least with Cody and Mark semi-woken and Jason at least being somewhat on board, there might be a way to get Paul out of the house if somebody, the right person, wins power this week.
Cameron, we haven't talked much about Mark outside of the cannoli talk. What's your take on Mark or as Brent refers to him, former fat butt?
No, I like Mark. He was one of the only people in the house that like was like, all right, man, I want to work with you. And he approached me. So from that moment, I knew like I wanted to work with him. And I think he's a real cool guy. Even though he was a former fat butt, he's ripped now and can beat any of us up in a fight.
Knock all of our skulls together.
If we're all on the same team, he's still going to whoop our ass. So I think Yeah, I like Mark. I like everything about him. He seems like a cool dude.
Okay.
I would say really quickly, they were talking about on the live feeds with John Krause, Taryn was, about, you know, Mark and not standing up for himself, basically being totally spineless. At least I'm seeing a little bit of game from Mark now that Jury is here, you know, willing to call a spade and say, like, look, this is what's happening in the house right now. Nobody's willing to do anything against Paul. We all take orders from him, and something has to happen for one of us to get a chance at the $500,000.
Okay. So, Brent, do you see the start of something? If you have Mark and you have Whistlenut, and then could you get Cody there? That's what, three? I mean, who else would potentially join this rogues gallery?
I mean, I thought Josh and Christmas would, based on the events of this past week, but Josh is saying to us on the live feeds that Paul's his ride or die to the final three.
More so than Cody, like, yeah.
I mean, it's just infuriating. I don't know. I mean, again, you'd probably have to place Cody on the block against somebody like Alex or Kevin, somebody that's beloved in the house right now, in order to get Paul out. But I don't know that there's anybody out in the house willing to do that.
I feel like this might be a week away. You got to get Cody evicted next week.
I think it's a week away.
And then you could start to talk about Mark and Josh and Whistlenut, and then maybe pulling in a Kevin and stuff like that.
I think here's the fly in the ointment. I think Matt needs to know he's in danger, and right now he does not. And he really shouldn't be, because he's really, really loyal to Paul. But Paul is like trying to put Matt and Raven up on the radar. If Matt realizes that Paul is playing him right now, and now the Jury is here, I feel like Matt would be willing to do anything, because he had a natural bond with Cody and with Mark. They were the three people that didn't vote, the three guys who voted against Jillian in the first vote against Cameron. So, you know, there's always been something there, and they're the three showman's partners too. So I feel like that could be rekindled at some point, and they could actually do something together if they knew that they were all in danger. Again, I want to shake Matt and say, look, if look at the table, look to see what's happening right now. Cody and Jessica are being targeted because they're a power couple. Marlena is being targeted because they're the next power couple. Who's the only other power couple after that? It's you, honey. So get off your butt and do something.
Okay. All right. Let's get a few more questions in before we wrap things up tonight. Aubra wants to know, what did you do during sequester? Did you just play ping pong by yourself and eat eggs? That feels like the move, right?
No, I was actually training for a Big Brother battle back. I was like swimming every day. Yeah, I was like treading water for like half hour a day. I was running so much that my knees actually hurt and I had to stop. They told me to stop working out. So I was trying to make sure that if it was an endurance comp or something where we're running back and forth on like a balance beam or something, that my endurance is not the problem. It's my balance or whatever it was. So I was just really just keeping my head in the game.
Cameron, did Glenn reach out to you from BB18?
Yeah, he reached out. He said something.
What did he say?
Yeah, let me hold on.
Oh boy.
The Glen of Temptation.
Why? Was he talking crap about
me? No. We love Glen here. We do. We love Glen. No.
He said he feels his pain no matter how long I was in the house. I was still in the house. We're family.
Oh, cool. That's very sweet. Yeah.
He was a nice guy.
Yeah.
All right. Johnny DeSavera, are you surprised casuals weren't shown how much the house didn't want Mark to use the veto? Brent?
Yeah, I already responded to this on Twitter, but I'll tell everybody now. They weren't shown that the house guests were trying to get Mark to not use the veto because it's a stupid idea. No one does that anymore. Can someone please show me somebody in the past like 5 years who's decided, no, I'm not going to use the veto. I'm sure there's somebody. The chat room is probably going to go crazy. Maybe you could go like Brendan and Rachel, where Brendan used the veto on Rachel. I don't know. But again, this was not going to happen. He was never going to just sit there and say, you know what? I worked hard for this veto. I'm not going to use it because I trust you guys so much. I mean, that would just be the sin to end all sins. And
Marcellus.
I'm glad they yada yada through the whole thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Austin says, did Jessica truly talk her way out of staying, or did Paul talk Christmas and Josh out of wanting Elena out? Brent, what was your version of events? Did Jessica blow it, or did Paul reign supreme?
I mean, I think Paul reigned supreme and then Jessica blew it. Like, there, even with Paul pulling strings, I feel like there was still a way for Jessica to stay, and she just refused to entertain the fact that here's the thing. Like, you even said it on the feeds, or maybe Taryn did a day or two ago. I forget who, but the point being that Jessica didn't even want Josh to have the ability to break a tie. You know, little did she know, like up until a day ago, he would have broke that tie in her favor, but she's so closed-minded, she just won't entertain the possibility of it. And I think she, more than anything, she didn't want to try if she thought she was going to fail again, because her entire Big Brother experience thus far has been utter failure.
Okay. Boy.
And I love me some Jessica, but she's just given up, and I have to call her out for that.
Trent Williams wants to know, any chance next week is a double eviction and then Friday special episode is another battle back? So they announced that next Friday will be a special bonus episode of Big Brother. Cameron, being a part of some of the group that's in the know, what do you think's coming up next Friday?
Well, the last battle back was on a Friday episode, but I don't think it's going to be another battle back because Ramsey's left and he's in real life.
So. Brent, is this this season Ziggy Marley concert?
I think this is probably where they're going to show the halfway party, Rob.
They're not like, going to show literally a party from 8 days ago.
They might. I think they've done worse.
I don't think so. I mean, the Pauly Carnival was like 2 days before, and then they cropped Pauly out of the show. If this was Friday night this week, I feel like, okay, I get it. Like, they're having a party, and then they're going to show the party, and they're going to talk about, hey, remember when this happened?
I forgot when they cropped out Pauly out of the carnival.
But that was
actually
from like
really good
2 days
shit.
Before. It wasn't from a week and a half before.
It's fine. They could crop Jess out. Like, they'd
but they're
going
to have
fine.
To crop out whoever gets evicted this week, too.
I know. Look, I don't know. I'm just like, if I had to guess, it's probably some Ziggy Marley-esque show where you and Matt Hoffman are going to have
I've already
time.
Emailed Matt Hoffman. He's going to be out of the country next Friday.
Okay. Sadly. All right. Well, okay. Yeah, that's too bad. Right. Maybe Taryn could be funny. Not.
Oh, come on. Robot Sesternino wants to ask, will Cody pull a surprise and leave with Jessica tomorrow night? Cameron, what are the chances of that?
Pretty good, I would say, because he's kind of crazy in love with her. But in all reality, probably not. He wants to get Paul out, and he said that in the end of the tonight's episode. So I don't think anybody would want to leave unless you're Megan.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm actually glad, because you know what? So many people were afraid to throw shade at Megan for the longest time. I was the only person doing it, and I'm really glad you've joined me in that, Cameron. Thank you. Yes.
You know, yeah. I'm kind of jealous she spent a little bit longer than me in that.
Yeah.
Okay.
She had a chance. Yeah.
This is from Survivor fan Cameron. Where did CBS make you stay for 1 month in sequester? Are you allowed to even talk about this?
No. Nope, okay. Can't talk about it. And I don't even know.
Somewhere in North America. Yep. We presume. Okay. Matt Ligori's got the Big Brother power rankings up on robhasawebsite.com. This week he's taking on Will Wall in the Big Brother 19 power rankings. You can check those out at robhasawebsite.com/blog. Also, this week, Taryn Armstrong talked with Audrey Middleton on episode number 4 of The Taryn Show. Audrey not only talks about her own experience, but she also talks about some comments that were made about her in the house. Also, for more Taryn, check out the latest American Ninja Warrior wrap up on robhasawebsite.com as well. And News AF with Tyson Apostle. We talked about how that there is some talk, Brent, that the solar eclipse is a harbinger of the end of the world come September 23rd. For more information on that, check out this week's News AF.
I need look no further than my television and Kim Jong-un ranting on the CNN
no,
on a daily basis.
It's not
basis.
Ending from yeah. that. It's not ending from that.
Okay. Oh, it's something different. Okay, cool. Fabulous.
Yeah. And then as well, Nick Iadanza has the great Des Quilty on the Survivor Australia wrap up. I have not got a chance to watch week 2 of Australian Survivor, but Des is going to be joining Nick on that podcast up on robswebsite.com. And also check out Taryn Armstrong tomorrow morning for the latest latest in what's going on the live feeds at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific, and then tomorrow night, Spencer Clawson joined. Boy, there's a lot of stuff going on RHAP.
I know, right? I'm like, let me know when you're done with your laundry list.
Spencer Clawson joins us on Thursday night after the episode, 10:15 p.m. Eastern Time for that. So looking forward to catching up with Spencer, another beard guy, Cameron.
Yeah, there we go. Hey, but before we get off, I want to talk about something. I'm kind of upset that like all these people are telling everybody about their temptations. It's stupid to me. Like, the whole reason about you getting a temptation is to keep it to yourself and then use it for yourself. That's what Paul did. And now I found out that Christmas used her temptation or told Paul almost immediately, like day whatever, 15, she told Paul. And then Jessica also told the whole house in front of America.
I feel like you're trying to tell us a secret.
It loses its
right
power.
Now, Cameron, you're like,
it loses
like
its
down
power.
Into the microphone of like,
sorry.
What are these people telling the secrets?
I agree with Cameron.
Pisses
about
me off.
Yeah.
I know. I agree with Cameron about Christmas telling Paul, because Paul ultimately got her to use it so that he would benefit from it, not Christmas. And I think that was self-evident on the show tonight based on what you heard during Paul's diary room. The Jessica one, I do have a problem with the way she implemented it. But from, you know, like I'm a Big Brother fan, like of the show more than anything. And I love her, like, you know, with the bitch slap in front of everybody. But, you know, like, I got the power to keep me and Cody safe, Josh, even though you want HOH, or Paul, even though you want HOH. So I loved her doing that. I thought that was really fun.
Okay.
I just think it's a dumb move.
It's a dumb move, but it was fun at least.
All right. Yeah. Well, we got a rise out of it. We'll see. Brent, do you think that Jessica will pull her patented move on Julie tomorrow night?
I think she will not say the spell again.
Okay.
No.
All right. That was her other move. That's her other move.
Were you... you didn't say this in the show, right? Like, I was bitter that they didn't make her say it the first time. I thought she had to say the spell.
Yeah, they got
right?
the announcer to do it. They thought that maybe...
Yeah, that was
well,
lame.
They thought maybe in the live show, if she sort of botched the lines, that it wasn't going to play out so well.
I feel like a spell is like horseshoes. Like, if it's close enough, you know, you'll give it to you.
Close enough. Is that spell rules?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll check.
So, Cameron, what's next for you post-Big Brother? Just back to work?
Yeah, I'm in the process of getting my job back. I had to quit to get on Big Brother.
Oh, no.
They were like, why are you quitting? And I'm like, I can't really tell you. But
hey, but Cameron, you know what they say. Better to quit your job on your own than have all of the Big Brother fans call and get you fired.
Yeah,
that's the smart move. You should go into the house in day one of the live feeds. You know, you say, hey, everybody, just so you know, I've quit my job. Good luck at getting me fired.
Yeah, say that right away, then nobody can be cynical towards me afterwards. But yeah, you know, just getting back to reality, it's kind of weird being recognized, so I don't really wear my glasses out. Well, people only recognize me when I got my glasses on. It's comical at this point.
Okay, that's good. So you have like this Clark Kent Superman type thing where you can...
It's so bizarre.
It's the bizarre Clark Kent Superman. You take your glasses off and nobody recognizes you.
I know, and I feel more comfortable.
Okay. Well, that's good. Great stuff tonight, and really had a blast talking to you. Anytime you want to come back and talk about any of this Big Brother, you let us know, Cameron.
All right, I'll let you know, Rob.
Yeah, and by the way, it was very exciting when we saw you with Big Jeff, and you talked about how you'd been listening to us on the podcast. Always a thrill when we hear that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I don't think Big Jeff liked me, because after that interview, I was like, man, Jeff, you're getting good at this. You're not terrible anymore. And he's like, thanks, man. He's like,
you're not terrible anymore. Boy, your social game was really in peak form going into that house, Cameron.
I know. I kind of felt like the need to tell him that he's getting better.
All right. Brent, great work as usual tonight. You can follow Brent on Twitter. He's at @OneLuckyGay. Cameron, what's your Twitter handle? It's at Cameron Hurd and the numbers?
210.
Yeah. What's the significance? February 10th, birthday?
Nope. It's just a number I've been rolling with since, like, Xbox. You know, Cub Suck was taken, so Cub Suck.
Cub Suck.
Yeah, I'm not, go Sox, go White Sox, baby.
Wow. Who knew? Wow, this is amazing. All right. So you're losing fans left and right, Cameron.
It's all right. I didn't have many to begin with.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think you probably have a few more. People are asking for me to play this question for you from Big Jeff. Here, this is a question for you.
A giant mosquito one time and get your ass whipped by it? Or would you like the relationship that you have and never get bit again? Or do you like the relationship that you have with mosquitoes right now?
Okay, what would you rather?
What does that even mean? What did you say?
He said,
would you rather fight a giant mosquito one time and get your ass whipped by it? Or would you like the relationship that you have and never get bit again? Or do you like the relationship that you have with mosquitoes right now?
So, Cameron, you were saying he was getting better. Yeah. You were saying he was getting better.
It's a,
Cameron,
right. it's a simple question. Would you rather get your ass beat by a giant mosquito, or would you rather stay with the current relationship that you have with mosquitoes and just let them do whatever they want to you?
He was trying really badly to tie it in with relationships in the house and something how the mosquitoes came up, and Jeff was off to the races with mosquitoes.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Well, for the record, I'd rather just maintain my relationship with mosquitoes now. I don't like to get into fights. I'm a very fragile person.
Yeah.
So.
There you go. All right. I think that was like right back to back. I remember that morning. I think it was like, I don't know if you went first or then Josh and then you, but that was very close to one another. One of those first interviews that morning. But
right. Jeff is like, I'm a little too tame. I'm going to ask a crazy question next.
All right. Anyway. So we got some suggestions for hashtags coming in. Vader Girl is using a hashtag butt first in honor of Jessica. I'm not sure if that's the way to go. Cameron, what's the hashtag tonight?
I don't know. I usually get so excited about this and I'm totally dropping the ball.
I do all the time, Cameron. I never write anything down, and the chat room takes care of it for
okay.
me.
Okay, like, chat room, what do you got tonight for the hashtags?
That's rap friendly. It can be like fat. So Taryn can say fat butt at 8 a.m., but we can't do butt first on Twitter.
If you want to say so, fat, Taryn's saying fat butt first.
Okay.
Right.
That might work.
Okay. Yeah. Crawford for second chances, I'm seeing from Sam. Malcolm was robbed, says Wit.
Malcolm was okay. robbed, yes.
All right. Hashtag okay. fat butt first. There you go. All right. Oh, yeah. The boys. That was the other one I liked from tonight.
The boys.
Is it the boys or the boys?
I like the boys.
The
it's got to have a Z.
So, but is it DA boys or the boys?
The boys. I think he was very
the
clear.
The boys.
I got.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. Cameron Hurd, great job, and gone too soon. All the best to you. Great job to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes as well. Looking forward to coming back tomorrow night after the eviction, talking with Spencer Clausen. Take care, everybody. Have a great night. Bye.